Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition.
It's Rosie on the House.
On a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning to you all. Welcome. It is Rosie on the House. We've been featuring Cottonwood all month long, as that is our staycation destination. Cottonwood has a nickname, and to find the origin of it, you have to go back 99 years to 1920. It was a booming agricultural community and a commerce center of the Verde Valley. It was also a major crossing point of the Verde River. Big market for hay and grain that was serving the Fort Verde, along with Jerome and Sedona. Cattle was a big secondary market, and with only a population of about 1,000, earned its nickname as the biggest little town in Arizona. And today you can enjoy parts of the Verde Valley, like the Jackpot Ranch, where they've got a treehouse for kids, paddle boats on the pond, playground, game room, a covered arena for riding, full-size sports court, water slide, swimming pond, and petting donkeys. You could also go to what I call the rawhide of Verde Valley. It's called the Blazing M Ranch. You go on hay rides, you know, roping lessons, critter walks. You become an outlaw. You can shoot a real 45 Colt. It's only wax bullets, but you get the it's a real Colt 45. You can feel that in your hand. You've got the Verde Canyon Railroad. And if you want to tie all those together, you can go to trailhorseadventures.com and schedule a trains, rails, rhythm, and ribs ride, where you can ride the train, ride your horse, and on your way back from the horse, you stop at the Blazing Inn Ramps Ranch, eat some ribs, and listen to the country music. We'll also hear from our staycation winner a little bit later this hour on his stay at the Pines Hotel last weekend and the time that they had there for camp. Cottonwood, you can sign up for your Arizona staycation. We've already selected the winner for next month in September for the Greer area. It'd be a wonderful time for listening to the Elk Bugle, but we're taking entries right now for Patagonia, which will be the destination of our October staycation. Had a lot of great sunsets this week. The storm's coming in. There's pictures posted everywhere. We also had 97,000 lightning flashes over Arizona on Wednesday night. A couple structure fires as a result of it. And there's a hashtag, AZWX, where you can go type that in and see all the different pictures and postings about it. Some beautiful, beautiful thunderstorms this week in Arizona. I don't know about you guys, but you know they always talk about the monsoons coming like this big hazard. I love the monsoons, the skies, the lightning, the sound of thunder, the smell of the creosote wet. I love the monsoons.
I'm with you, absolutely. Wait all year for it. They almost left us waiting at the aisle this year, man. Who stole the monsoon?
The one thing I didn't like was the lightning strike near my house where I just saw the flash and counted one.
Yeah.
Whoa. But, man, it was intense.
It was.
Yeah.
I love it. Lots of fun for me anyway. So we have a special guest in, and I very, very coincidentally, it's about escaping the heat, and Dr. Dean from Grand Canyon University, the history professor, said, well, let's do a segment about all the escaped prisoners in Arizona because everyone's escaping from the heat. And 2 days later, the story broke about this escaped couple in Arizona. So it did not tie the two together. And Dr. Dean, you're going to get to hear something a lot of my high school teachers heard me say that I didn't do my homework. But you sent this to me like yesterday morning. It's 16 pages, and I had a conference all day. So, I mean, you've got an chronicles here of escape prisoner stories in Arizona. Floor is yours, sir.
This just scratches the surface of what I call jailbirds and jailbreaks in Arizona history. We've got a rich history of a Department of Corrections and dealing with those that go a little astray with society and how we've taken care of that in our society. And some of these folks have attained a little bit of notoriety. And so this morning I thought we would just kind of talk a little bit about those that have done hard labor since it is Labor Day.
Your lesson on how the first territorial prison got located, where it got located, is absolutely a fabulous story.
Down in Yuma?
Yes.
In 1875, where the village donated the land for them, and then they got a contract for $150 to build it. And yeah, it's a very interesting beginnings to our territorial prison system.
And then what was the part of the story where two legislatures wrote the location into the bill? It got passed, and lo and behold, it wasn't going to be maybe where it should have been in the more populated areas, but they kind of hornswiggled their way through the legislative process to get it in Yuma.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, Yuma is a very out-of-the-way place. You don't want bad, terrible people close to your Tucson or Phoenix or Prescott at the time, so they put it as far away as possible down in Yuma.
At that time, that was far away from everything, that's for sure. And then built it basically in the side of a hill out of rocks. Wasn't a very pleasant place.
No, and you can imagine, of course, in a day 1875 to about 1909 or so, there's no air conditioning, and it's the hottest. You know, Yuma gets hotter than most places in Arizona, and there's not a lot of air going through. And, I mean, it was a terrible, terrible place. Nobody wanted to go there.
That I feel so bad for the criminal spending time there, but, man, if you're a prison guard, that's almost like punishment.
Yeah, it was, well, if that's the only job in the area, you know, I guess you worked what you needed to do.
I'd go to another area.
Have you seen that building, Romy? Have you seen it?
I have not.
It's really something to stand there and look
at. I mean, other than pictures.
Think about being locked inside of one of those little rooms.
That's
to make you be good.
They're small, very small spaces. And, of course, the prison had over 3,000 prisoners over its time span, over the 33 years. And some actually did pass away because, you know, tuberculosis and other health kind of things. Whenever you put people together from all over, the disease kind of comes around and things. So it was a place that most criminals did not, I mean, they feared if you got sentenced to the territorial prison at Yuma.
And 21 different foreign countries are proud to say that they had a citizen that was a member of the prison.
A resident, yes, yes. And of course, there was always kind of a myth that that there were no escapees from the territorial prison. But actually, 26 convicts did make it outside of the confines of the walls, and they were sought after and rounded back up and brought back. So it's not necessarily true what we get in our dime store novels of the Old West, you know. But they do the best they can to keep people where they're supposed to be when the Department of Corrections.
And we finally retired that prison when?
In 1909,
okay.
When they opened the Florence prison over in a more central part of the state.
And I think both prisons, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe both prisons were built by prison labor.
Yes, yes. In fact, you can imagine you're building the very place that you're going to be staying. You know, I guess it's a form of homesteading.
That's a stretch.
Forced homesteading, yes. But we do have, you know, a number of federal and state correctional facilities around the state now, as well as our county and local jails and that kind of stuff. So it's a big part of our society, and yet we kind of set it aside. But we're reminded of, with the events of this past week with the escaped convicts and stuff, that, you know, there are real serious folks that are in these places, and that there's a real difficult job that those people do in the Department of Corrections to keep those people where they're supposed to be and paying their paying back society for what they've done.
Ooh. And then we've got Fort Grant.
Yeah, it was an old army post back during the kind of the Indian Wars and whatnot. And it got converted to a prison for a while and later a school. And so, again, not a really pleasant place. But you can go down there and visit it also.
I did.
It's funny how a government building can be used for a prison, a school, and a military compound.
That's right.
What other type of building could be used for that many different variances?
Sustainability. That's hey, right. There you go. Well, you love that word.
I'm sure the kids had a lot of jokes about being in prison, right?
Well, and I think if you know whether you're a government worker or under government care, I don't think any of the three are different, you know, between a prison hospital and an administrative place or a fort or something, you know.
Well, I think some of the buildings originally built at the fort are still up.
Yes, yes. And there's several forts around the state that where you can go and see, say, the parade ground or the officer's quarters or the commandant's house, those kind of things. And so, yeah, Fort Grant still's got some places down there that you can go and visit.
It's voluntarily.
But it's a little off the beaten path to get there because you have to go on the backside of Tucson and go up towards Safford.
Sulphur Springs Valley.
Yeah, yeah. It's way on that other side.
Yeah, when I was in seventh grade, back then it was a boys' reform school.
Right.
In the 70s. And my dad thought it was appropriate in seventh grade that I got a tour of the facility.
Scared straight.
The next year I was student body president.
Making good grades and everything.
Yeah. I was polishing my halo every night.
Oh, maybe I should take some of my students down there on a trip. You know, the ones that you didn't turn in your assignments. Here's a reform school. Anyway, yeah. So I wonder if they'd make that leap today.
I don't know. And what is it today? Today it's an actual just...
kind of a museum historic site.
Okay.
But you can visit it. I think they have a small entry fee that's by donation, I think. So,
how many prisons do we have in Arizona?
We have a lot. We have 48 different prisons in the state. Again, those are correctional facilities or prisons and those kind of things. And there's also several federal prisons. And then, of course, each county has at least one or two detention centers and for different, you know, juvenile offenders or adult offenders. And then the cities have jails and whatnot to hold people as they move into the criminal justice system. I could have one of our criminal justice professors come in and
guess
all that.
Well, that sounds like it'll be a fun follow-up. And when we get back from this commercial break, we'll talk about the legacy of Eva Dugan and how every death row inmate has her to thank that they're not going to be hung.